a 737 is down in the Caribbean. NTSB is out with a prelim on the Roush crash at Oshkosh. And the new tech ELT didn't do its job in the Ted Stevens accident. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, August 17, 2010. A Boeing 737 operated by AeroVS de Integración Regional SA went down during a landing attempt in a thunderstorm on San Andres Island in the Caribbean yesterday. The plane reportedly hit the ground short of the runway and broke into three pieces. Miraculously, there's only one reported fatality, and a responder says that appears to have been a heart attack. Officials say that 119 of those on board were treated at local medical facilities. Five were deemed to be seriously injured. Watch for updated details today at aero-news.net. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board has issued a preliminary report on the crash at AirVenture of racing legend Jack Roush. The final moments of the flight were below radar coverage, so there's no track data available, but amateur video of the landing attempt shows Roush's Hawker Beechcraft Premier in a left base turn to final for runway 18. The plane appears to overshoot the runway centerline. The wings are level momentarily. Then it enters a slight right bank as the nose pitches up. The plane then turns left toward the runway centerline and begins a descent, but the pitch appears to increase until the plane enters a right bank and hits the grass west of the runway in a nose-down, right-wing low attitude. In addition to a cockpit voice recorder, investigators say they recovered several non-volatile memory devices from the plane, which may give them more info than would be available in some airliner accidents. A final report is likely a year away. Roush and his passenger were assisted off the plane with injuries described as serious but not life-threatening. It's likely there will be an investigation within an investigation in the case of the fatal turboprop crash in Alaska last week that killed former Senator Ted Stevens and four others. Chris O'Connors, program manager for SARSAT, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Search and Rescue Satellite-Aided Tracking System, announced on Thursday the plane was equipped with one of those new 406 megahertz transponders and that it had been properly registered. But authorities never received a signal from the plane, despite confirmed satellite passes over the area shortly after it went down. Without the beacon's GPS coordinates to work with, or even the knowledge the plane was down, the search for survivors didn't begin until 4 to 5 hours after the accident, and weather obscuring the crash site delayed location of the wreck until the next morning. USA Today reports NTSB Chairman Deborah Herzman confirms there was no signal received from the plane, but the board has not disclosed whether it believes any of those who died might have survived the crash itself. Lieutenant Sean Maddock, Operations Support Officer for SARSAT, credits the new UHF beacons for saving the lives of 20 snowmobilers in Alaska over the last 2 years. Civil Air Patrol Captain Justin Ogden, whose work with cell phone forensics has helped save numerous lives, will receive the 2010 Distinguished Volunteer Public Benefit Flying Award September 16th in a ceremony at the U.S. Capitol. The National Aeronautic Association, in partnership with the Air Care Alliance, a nationwide league of humanitarian flying organizations, sponsors the awards, which honor men and women and organizations that fly for the benefit of others. Ogden is a 29-year-old based in Arizona. He's developed a system for triangulating signals that come from victims' cell phones to help locate air crashes and missing persons. Ogden has participated in 77 searches, which resulted in 28 finds and 10 saved lives. Of the Distinguished Volunteer Award, he says, quote, "I'm very excited about being this year's recipient. Having been nominated by CAP National Headquarters in the first place is very meaningful to me," unquote. Up next on ANN, L3's ESI 2000 gets its TSO. The first full-flight sim for the Phenom 300 is up and running. And an upgrade can extend maintenance intervals on some GE engines. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
This AeroCast segment is sponsored by ForeFlight, makers of ForeFlight Mobile HD, the elegantly designed iPad and iPhone app for pilots. Learn more about ForeFlight's new touch-based flight planning capability. Build complex flight plans and bend routes around weather in just seconds using only your fingers. With HD NexRad, VFR and IFR charts, terminal procedures, a comprehensive AFD, and now touch planning. Visit us online at www.4flight.com. 4Flight, intelligent apps for pilots.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 17th. I'm Paul Plagg. Flight engineers Doug Wheelock and Tracy Caldwell Dyson completed the third contingency spacewalk to install a spare ammonia pump module on the S-1 truss of the International Space Station at 1:40 p.m. Eastern Time yesterday. Once the 780-pound spare pump module was successfully installed, ground controllers confirmed the module was in healthy condition. After a pressure check, the module was filled with ammonia. The spacewalk totaled 7 hours, 20 minutes. L3 Avionics Systems reports the FAA last week granted TSO authorization for the Trilogy ESI 2000 electric standby instrument with battery backup. L3 says the instrument uses lithium-ion technology to provide a minimum of 1 hour and up to 4 hours of backup power, depending on temperature exposure, if primary aircraft power is lost. Trilogy is unique in that its 3.7-inch screen can be configured to mimic the look of the aircraft's primary instruments, so the information will be presented in a familiar-looking form during what might be a stressful time for the pilot. The battery's capacity is monitored by the internal computer, which will notify the pilot when replacement is necessary. The first Embraer CAE Training Services Phenom 300 full-flight simulator has been qualified by the FAA, EASA, and the Brazilian Civil Aviation Agency. The sim is located at CAE's Simuflight Training Center in Dallas, Texas, and is already being used to qualify Phenom 300 pilots. This is the third full-flight sim provided by the company to provide pilot training for Phenom customers, and the first dedicated to the 300. The other two simulators support the Phenom 100 and were certified last year. One of those is also located at the Dallas facility, while the other is at CAE's Burgess Hill Center in the UK. GE Aviation has announced an on-wing engine upgrade program available for certain configurations of the CF34-3A2 engine, which will allow shifting maintenance from defined time to an on-condition schedule. The company says the upgraded engines will have longer time on wing and greatly reduced maintenance costs with no scheduled hot section inspections or overhauls. Bill Hornschemeyer, General Manager of Business and General Aviation Sales at GE Aviation, explains, quote, "This new program for the CF34-3A2 engines can be accomplished without a shop visit if the engine configuration meets the requirements specified in the bulletin," unquote. The engines are in service on Challenger 601 aircraft. The original CF34 modernization program, which covers all CF34 1A and 3A engines and 3A2 engines not eligible for the new program, can only be done during an overhaul at a GE-authorized shop. With the upgrade, those engines will also be fully on condition, with the next unscheduled shop visit typically determined by the cycle limits on some parts. Still ahead, ATK presses on with testing of the Ares rocket motor. TSOs who want to be cops may get to live their fantasy. And the acronyms are getting longer than the satellites. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design. Maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, August 17th. I'm Paul Plagg. The new federal fiscal year starts October 1st, so NASA's Constellation program may have only weeks to live. But contracts are contracts, and development of the components of Constellation continues. A second fully developed Ares 5-segment solid rocket motor, known as Development Motor 2 or DM2, is scheduled to be tested in the Utah desert by ATK and NASA just after 9 a.m. Mountain Time, August 31st. The motor is an upgraded version of the Space Shuttle's 4-segment booster and would be a key element of NASA's future heavy-lift launch vehicle. The horizontal ground test firing will be used to evaluate 53 design objectives measured by over 760 instruments. 2 years ago, the Transportation Security Administration angered some police groups by issuing police-inspired uniforms and badges to its screeners, which it calls Transportation Security Officers, or TSOs. TSA said the change would increase respect for its screeners. Real police agencies saw it as akin to impersonation of an officer, and noted there had already been cases in which TSOs had crossed the line from their role as screeners to play cop. TSA assured the law enforcement community that all badged TSOs would first receive 2 days of training, and TSA Deputy Administrator Gail Rossides added it was highly unlikely screeners would ever be given true law enforcement authority. But that may now be changing. In an interview with Washington Post columnist Joe Davidson last week, new TSA Chief John Pistoli, a 26-year FBI veteran, acknowledged reports the agency is considering creating a corps of TSOs who would become actual sworn law enforcement officers. Quote, "It would be a force multiplier, not designed to replace airport law enforcement authority, but to supplement those as appropriate," unquote. Pistoli added he'd like to see those new officers come from outside police agencies. Quote, "Those details are currently being worked out, but I like the idea of having those who have experience in this business, but I'm looking at all the options," unquote. Action on the idea is not expected for a year. If the effect of TSA's uniforms and badges on respect for screeners can be measured by gauging workforce morale, it hasn't worked. According to a survey by the Partnership for Public Service, out of 216 federal agencies, TSA ranked 213th in best places to work. Students from the Colorado Space Grant Consortium have teamed with Lockheed Martin to develop a miniature satellite that weighs just under 9 pounds. It's designed to remain functional on orbit for about a year and will be designed to support a variety of space-based research payloads. The consortium involves 16 Colorado colleges, universities, and institutions, and is funded by NASA as part of the National Space Grant Program. Wanda Segur, Lockheed Martin Space Systems VP of Engineering, predicts, quote, "With our advanced small satellite expertise, matched with the enthusiasm and innovation of these students, I am fully confident the team will deliver mission success," unquote. Chris Kohler, director of the Colorado Space Grant Consortium, adds, quote, "This program will provide exciting opportunities for our students to get real-life hands-on experience and learn from the mentors and systems integration experts at Lockheed Martin," unquote. Boldly going where no acronym has gone before, the CubeSat will be called ALSTAR, which stands for Agile Low-Cost Laboratory for Space Technology Acceleration and Research. Fortunately, we have the acronym to make the satellite's full name much easier to remember. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell gets more info on several exciting projects at Sikorsky Innovations from Chris Van Buten. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.